Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Research shows Black and Latino children with autism are often diagnosed much later in their youth than white children. Doctors from the University of Miami and Nova Southeastern University Center for Autism and Related Disabilities say a much later diagnosis leads to fewer opportunities for treatment and intervention for these communities. This was the case for Jeremy Miles, an 8-year-old Black boy who was diagnosed with autism at the age of 5, once he had already enrolled in kindergarten. Typically, these diagnoses happen much earlier than the first year of school. Now, we talked to Jeremy's mother, Chanel, and Dr. Jennifer DeRocher, Director of Center for Autism and Related Disabilities at the University of Miami, Nova Southeastern. Jeremy was in studio with his mom, and you might hear this toy shaking during the conversation. Just a note, we did reach out to Fulford Elementary School in North Miami Beach, where Jeremy Miles went to school, for comment about his experiences there, and we're still waiting for those response.
Mrs. Miles, I want to start with you. Tell me a little bit about Jeremy. Tell me about the diagnosis. What was the day-to-day like before?
The day-to-day with him, he wasn't really communicating, talking. He watched a lot of cartoons on YouTube that doesn't speak at all. He's mostly off to himself a lot.
What did you think about? What was going through your mind about what was his behavior like?
I thought because it was like when I take him to the park, he interact and play with the kids. But when he's with adults, he's like shy away.
Mm-hmm.
He won't make eye contact with you.
When's the first time you went to a doctor?
When he took him to the doctor, it was like regular checkups.
And nobody said anything? Nobody knew anything?
No.
Did you ever talk about that, though, with them? Did you ever say, you know, Jeremy's not talking to anybody? Or just, he's, you know, this is how he behaves? Did they ever ask?
No. I never really, at first, paid attention to it. I thought that he just needed to develop a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But everything didn't start until when he started school. That's when I really started paying attention and knowing what was going on.
And then you went to a doctor to finally get a diagnosis.
At first, really, I thought he had a hearing problem because I can call him and be talking to him in his face.
Yeah.
And he would just stare at me. So I'm like, can you hear me? Do you see me?
Right.
And then he'll look away, play with his fingers, and then look somewhere else. And then he'll answer me. He took a while to answer me.
Mm-hmm. So when did you finally get the diagnosis? What was that day like?
I was relieved because I know that I knew something was wrong. I just couldn't put my finger on it.
Yeah.
But I was glad to, you know, get a diagnosis for him.
Dr. DeRocher, I'm wondering, you know, early on in a child's development, is that something for doctors to ask about behavior, you know, what they're doing, how they're acting? How often is misdiagnosis an issue with this?
It's a really common occurrence. Pediatricians are trained to ask about those things, but the amount of time that a pediatrician has with a patient is so short that many times, unless the parent is bringing up concerns to the doctor is more concerned with the physical health of the child and isn't really observing the child for signs of delays. Mm-hmm. It's a very common occurrence for parents to be told, well, he's a boy, let's wait and see, boys talk later.
So gender plays a role in this?
Gender does play a role. More boys than girls have autism. It's about 4 boys to every girl.
Mm-hmm.
But I think our perceptions about how development unfolds are also shaped by gender. It's not particularly accurate, but it's common for people to think that boys talk later than girls. And so perhaps pediatricians and families aren't as concerned when a boy shows some delays early on. They believe perhaps they're going to catch up. And that's the worst thing, really, to do.
I'm talking with Dr. Jennifer DeRocher, Director of CARD at the University of Miami, Nova Southeastern. Also joining me in studio is Chanel Miles, the mother of Jeremy Miles. Jeremy was recently diagnosed with autism disorder. Now, we're exploring the issue of autism among African Americans and the resources available to families in need. Dr. DeRocher, at what age usually do we diagnose children with autism?
So there's a very big gap between when we can diagnose autism and when it does get diagnosed. We can reliably see the signs of autism between 18 months and 2 years, and a good clinician can make that diagnosis. Oftentimes, kids wait until 3 4 or later to get a diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And we know there is a very big gap between when white non-Hispanic families' children get diagnosed and when minority children get diagnosed.
Yeah, what do we know? What does the data tell us about, you know, when you talk about minority kids and when they're diagnosed compared to white children? Where's the difference coming from?
It's really hard to say where and why that difference occurs. There are a number of potential reasons why that might occur. Families could be describing the symptoms in different ways. The symptoms could present in slightly different ways across ethnicity and race. And then I think clinician bias plays a role as well. I think clinicians assume that the disorder is more prevalent, perhaps, in white non-minority populations because that's what the prevalence rates are right now.
Yeah.
But there's no evidence to suggest that that's the way it should be. We should expect to see similar numbers across different racial and ethnic groups. And right now, nationally, it's still skewed where Hispanic and Black African American families, they're diagnosed later and they're diagnosed less frequently.
Just as a reminder to folks too, is that there's a spectrum. It's not to say, you know, a child is diagnosed as autistic. That there's a spectrum on what that means. How do you describe that to somebody?
Recently, we went to this idea of a spectrum, and the diagnosis is going to be the same regardless of the severity. It's going to be a diagnosis of autism spectrum disorder, and that severity can vary pretty drastically from one child to another. So we can have children who don't speak at all to children who have very well-developed language skills. But at its core, we're seeing difficulties with relating to other people, being reciprocal or back and forth in the social interactions. We're seeing difficulties using eye contact and gestures and reading facial expressions. And then we also see a pattern of behaviors that might be unusual, overly focused on a particular toy, engaging in a repetitive behavior over and over, being highly interested in a particular topic. And that can vary from child to child in how frequently it occurs, but all children on the spectrum and adults have those same core symptoms.
In the diagnosis, can you know that early on? Can you know what the severity may be?
Severity is a kind of moment by moment type of thing. So with intervention, a child who maybe had a higher level of severity younger can progress remarkably well and become much less severe in their symptom presentation, gain significant amount of skills. And it's really hard to tell when a child is young kind of what their path of development is going to be like.
Something you said, Dr. DeRocher, and I wanted to go to Mrs. Miles about this, is how they interact with other people. And you were saying a little while ago about how Jeremy reacts with other kids compared to adults.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy goes to school.
Yes.
And the teachers think he's quiet, he's not misbehaving, but he's not interacting with them. And then they hold him back. I mean, what were those conversations like with teachers?
Well, like always, they always think that it's something going on home. That's why he's like that in class.
Yeah.
But it's never always at home. It was only in school. When he come home from school, he did his homework with me. But he wasn't doing any schoolwork. When I used to pick him up from school, I used to always ask the teacher, okay, how he was doing today? He was like, oh, he was fine. He was good. But I said, did he do any work? Oh, no, he ain't do no work. He ain't do no work. That don't bother you? So you mean to tell me you let a child sit in class, long as he wasn't disrupting your classroom, you're going to just let him sit there being quiet, watching everybody work, and find no time to at least try?
You're listening to a conversation that we had with Dr. Jennifer DeRocher, Director of Center for Autism and Related Disabilities. The program is in partnership with the University of Miami and Nova Southeastern. You also heard from Chanel Miles, the mother of Jeremy Miles. Jeremy was diagnosed with autism disorder at the age of 5, and we're exploring the issue of autism among African Americans and the resources available to families in need. We're going to have more on this conversation in just a moment. Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Well, April is Autism Awareness Month, and we are looking into the issue of underdiagnosis within communities of color. Earlier in the program, we heard from Chanel Miles, whose son Jeremy Miles is on the autism spectrum. Chanel has received services from a joint program between Nova Southeastern University and the University of Miami. It's called CARD, Center for Autism and Related Disabilities. Dr. Jennifer DeRocher is the director for CARD, and let's return now to that conversation with both Dr. DeRocher and Ms. Miles. Dr. DeRocher, I mean, I guess if we're talking about pediatricians who can't diagnose this right away or they don't know, then I guess you can't expect teachers to know this. But I'm wondering, too, have you seen this with teachers? Are they also thinking if it's a white child, maybe there's a problem compared to if they see a black or Hispanic child?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to overgeneralize because I think there are some really smart teachers out there who are very in tune with what children should be doing at certain ages and are concerned regardless of the child's ethnicity or race.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, we do see, and some of the literature would suggest that we make perhaps different attributions about children's behavior. And so the experience of having the professionals suggest that perhaps there's some kind of emotional condition or something going on at home, and looking at that instead of looking at the child's development as being more consistent with a child with autism, that is something that the literature has suggested is true. And in fact, the literature says that children who are black or African American are much less likely to receive an autism diagnosis, whoever they see, at their first visit, and more likely to receive a diagnosis other than autism. And the more common ones are troubles adjusting, which is emotional, or trouble with conduct, behavior.
So after you get the diagnosis, now mm-hmm. what's the conversation with the teachers like?
Oh, now we know what to do. Now we know what we can do now. But see, our school don't have this program, so we're going to have to find a way to put him into a school that can help him, which they never did. I did everything. Nobody helped me with anything.
You had to move Jeremy to another school.
This whole process, it's been just me. I wasn't knowledgeable on none of this. I just went with what I thought was right, and everything I did up to this day is right.
Did you find a good place, a good program?
This would be the longest interview if I had to tell you that process. How I even got to the diagnosis, after they diagnosed him, I went to the school, I gave them the papers. Yeah, they was happy or whatever, and they know what to do, whatever, but they still didn't have the resources.
Yeah.
So they said that they had to do a test, and it was like a survey of numbers of how you think your child is.
Yeah.
And the teachers had to do it. I had to do it. The counselor had to do it, and the psychologist had to do it. After that, everything was stopped at a halt. It was getting to the end of the school year. I still didn't hear from the school. You know what I did when I left that school? I got in my car and I called the school board. I was on the phone with the director for that school for 2 hours, explaining to her every step and measure of what I did. As I was talking to her, she was looking up his grades and she was like, oh my God. Kind of find out he was supposed to be on daily progress reports. His teacher was out for 2 semesters because she was pregnant. So he had a substitute teacher.
We had no
and
idea.
Had no idea.
So much of this has been on you. How, if you found any help with Dr. DeRocher and with CARD, what have they been able to do for you?
It's funny because I came to them for help. And everything that they would have told me to do, I already did it. So they had to just follow up with me.
Wow.
Everything I did myself, nobody didn't tell me, nobody didn't help me. I did all of this. They kept wanting to fail him, hold him back. They done hold him back kindergarten and first grade. No explanation.
I'm talking with Dr. Jennifer DeRocher, director of CARD at the University of Miami Nova Southeastern. Also joining me in studio is Chanel Miles, the mother of Jeremy Miles. Jeremy was recently diagnosed with autism disorder. Now we're exploring the issue of autism among African Americans and the resources available to families in need. Dr. DeRocher, I mean, she's talking about what schools are offering. What do you know about what the school system is offering? Are there enough options for help for someone like Chanel?
Yes, there are plenty of options, but it just takes one person who maybe doesn't have the knowledge at that moment that might have or should have to throw the whole thing kind of off track.
It sounds like she had to do everything on her own. Is that what you're hearing from parents? Or just stuck?
I mean, that is an experience some parents have. You know, with a school district this large, there's going to be breakdowns. The process is supposed to go in a very predictable way. No, teachers are not experts in diagnosis, and nor should they be.
Mm-hmm.
But teachers should have a good enough sense of what children in that age group generally do as far as their behavior, and bring those concerns up so that the child can then be referred for evaluation. And it sounds like that happened in Jeremy's case, but it sounds like it was perhaps delayed more than it should have been.
No following up, no communication.
Once a child gets evaluated, there's supposed to be a meeting to determine whether the child is eligible for special education services and to develop a plan to do remediation and provide specific supports and accommodations and programming for that child to help close that gap. Again, that process may sometimes take longer than it should. Once that process happens, there are a range of educational programs that students are eligible for. The district has inclusion classrooms. They have classrooms specifically for students with autism spectrum disorder, but it just takes one time for it not to go right.
What is it that CARD can do to help moms and parents like Chanel?
We offer a bunch of different things. So for a family who has concerns that their child might have autism, we certainly can have the family call us, and our team can help direct them toward what are the steps that are needed to get that child evaluated to determine if they do have autism. And for different families, that might be going to a neurologist or helping the family figure out how the school system works better. Once a child is diagnosed, they can register for services with CARD. And we provide services at no cost to families to help guide and support them, from making referrals to helping the family figure out what their treatment plan should be, to helping them find recreational programs that the child might participate in. We have parent support groups. We even go out and consult to the schools where children are in their classrooms to provide the teacher with strategies and suggestions for how to better work with that child.
Chanel, let me finish up with you. What do you say to parents who were in the situation you were in over the last couple of years?
There's always somebody that can help you. Don't let nobody tell you anything different. If you know in your gut that something's wrong with your child, somebody will listen to you.
A powerful conversation that we had the opportunity to record recently. You heard from Dr. Jennifer DeRocher, Director of Center for Autism and Related Disabilities at the University of Miami Nova Southeastern, and Chanel Miles, a mother of Jeremy Miles. You can find more information about CARD services and events surrounding Autism Awareness Month by going to our social media, WLRN Sundial. Well, that's our program for this Tuesday, April 9th. Thank you so much for listening to Sundial. Remember that we air again at night at 8 p.m. It's a replay of the show. Find us Monday through Thursday at 1 o'clock and again at 8 o'clock. And always find us on social media at WLRN Sundial.